A guten Erev Yom HaKippurim. I firstly want to begin by dedicating tonight's shir L'ilui Nishmas, a very special person who supported many of the amazing shuls and Torah institutions in Boston. Tonight, Erev Yom HaKippurim is his fifth yahrzeit. Many of you might remember him. His name is Mr. Lenny White, Eliezer Melech Ben Shloima. He was a friend and supporter of our shul, as well as many other things. And when he passed away, he left generous gifts to many of the shuls and schools that we all use and benefit from, besides many of the chesed organizations. So something that, out of Hakaras HaTov, I would like to dedicate tonight on his fifth yahrzeit. It should be the Torah, the inspiration should be a Eloi for his neshama. The question, just so I can clarify, if this is a weekly teleconference, why did I dedicate tonight's shir for women? And the answer is very simple. Most men are going to make it to shul this year. And they're going to hear drushes, Metz Hashem, beautiful drushes, wherever they daven. Many women will not have the opportunity to make it to shul, as they are caretakers and caregivers. And I want this opportunity to specifically, while I'm talking to women bechlal, to address the women that will not make it to shul and might possibly have a thought cross their mind that they're missing out or they're not going to be there. And the goal of the next few minutes is to be mechazik, that no matter where you're going to be this Yom Kippur, whether you're going to be home serving food to your children or to your parents, depending who you're taking care of, what your role is this Yom Kippur. And I will begin with an inspiring story that someone told me this year in Bnei Brak. There's the incredible Ponovitch Yeshiva. And upon which all the alumni come back. You're talking about thousands of people pack into their big yeshiva, but it's thousands of people. There's so many people that they literally make two floors. They split the shul. They have like a floor. So when you look up, you see people's shoes. But they were still short. And one of the people at the meeting recommended that maybe let's cut a section of the women's section off. And let's give it to the Bachrim or to the men. You know, there'll be less seats for women. Let's say the women's section has 400 seats. Let's cut off a 200 piece, put a mechitza down the women's section and give the men part of it. And Rav Shach, the legendary Rosh Hashiva Ponovitch, put on a very sour face at that idea. And he says, who knows if that single girl who's not going to end up with a seat, because the older women are going to get the seats first, who knows if her pure tefillas, that she will be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she should marry a true Ben Torah, a true righteous young man who's learning Torah, will not be the tefillah that will trigger all of our tefillas to go up, who's willing to take that responsibility and lock her out of shul. Incredible story. How with thousands of Talmidei Chachamim in the shul, Rav Shach said, we cannot make less women's seats, because who knows if it's not that one girl or one woman's tefillah that will raise the thousands of Talmidei Chachamim's davening. Just as an introduction to understand what we're talking about here when we talk about women's tefillah on Yom HaKippurim. But that's about women in shul. What about to the women that won't make it into shul, or they'll make it to just part of davening? I want to share with you something I saw this year. Be a little bit of a chizuk. There's a new art scroll book. It's called, I think, Steps to the Throne. And in that sefer, it's an English sefer, he brings down that this question, a chizuk perhaps, to women who are going to end up spending their days at home, taking care of the kids, serving food, doesn't feel so Yom Kippurish. And he wanted many years ago, it goes back 30, 40 years ago, wanted to give this chizik. And this is what he told the women. The most important part of the day is not Kol Nidre. And not even the Ilo in general. It's something specific. It's called the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachmim. The main part of Yom Kippur, which is something we're going to say many, many times over Yom Kippur, is we say Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Rachum, Vechanon, the 13 names of mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why are they the most important? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is after the Chet Egel. And he says, there is one thing I will never turn away. And Moshe Rabbeinu is like, you know, looking at him and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this? What's the secret? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says these words, anytime I'm angry at Klal Yisrael, and they will be Yasu Lefanai Kisedra Zeh. They will go and do this 13 meters of Rachman in front of me. And no matter what they do wrong, I'm going to be Michael them. I'm going to forgive them no matter what. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the loving father of Klal Yisrael, runs to Klal Yisrael and teaches them this trick. And that's the trick we still bank on till today. But if you pay attention, what did Hashem say? Hashem didn't say if they will say the 13 midas. Hashem said if they will be yasu lefanai. And the Mefarshim explain. Just saying the words, kale, rachum, bechanon, compassionate, and forgiving, Hashem, that doesn't do it. It says yasu. We need to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to know how it works, the magic of it, is if you will be rachum, you will be compassionate, you will be chanon, you will be merciful. Erech HaPayim, you will not lose your temper. V'Rav Chesed, you'll do kindness. And you emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will do it. Says Rabbi Tauber to the women. The men are in shul saying it. Wonderful. But who's doing it? Who is hungry and tired and sitting at home with either an elderly parent or with young children who are absolutely driving them nuts? And they're this close to losing it. And they're rachum. And they're chanun. And they're erech apayim. They don't lose it with their children. He says those are the women of Klal Yisrael that are home. So he says, women, the men are saying it. And yes, they're going to shul. You are living it. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down and he sees you taking care of a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, because it's usually the women that are asked to take care, because they're the ones who have that heart and that compassion. He says, don't feel you're doing secondary. You are the ones that are actually living it. So when you're doing your chesed, instead of feeling like you're secondary to the people saying it, says Rabbi Tauber, it's quite the opposite. That is one idea that Rabbi Tauber shared. But I want to share with you something that's a little closer to home and relevant to specifically Tavshin Peihe, specifically this year. I don't need to spend time now telling anybody what this year was. But we know history teaches us. There is a man who everyone here most likely heard of. His name is Rav Dessler. He was the Michtav Me'Eliyahu. And I want to read you a letter that he wrote to his son in 1935. And if this is not prophecy, if this was not written to us, then nothing was. His son, very interestingly, writes to him in 1935, how do I feel? How do I feel the fear of din? This is what his son asks him. He says, he's supposed to come Rosh Hashanah and feel it. He says, I don't feel scared. And listen to what his father writes him in a letter. This is in 1935. This is El Tafresh Tzadik Vav. And his father tells him, my dear son, if you told me last Rosh Hashanah you weren't scared, I would say fine. But he says, this Rosh Hashanah, you're not scared? Listen to what he writes to him. He says, a year ago, Rosh Hashanah, in the world, people were embarrassed to be anti-Semites, openly. People might have been anti-Semites, but it was private. Only Germany is what he writes in 1935 in L. Only Germany is openly anti-Semitic. Everyone else was hiding it a year ago. And he writes, over the past year, it has become absolutely okay, and anti-Semitism spread openly all over Europe. He says, could you tell me why you're not scared? He says, the fact that you didn't daven last Rosh Hashanah, that this shouldn't happen, can't be held against you, because you couldn't even have imagined it. But he looks to writes to his son, now you're not scared? Which part of you is not scared? Tyre and the Shei Yisrael. The fact that last Rosh Hashanah, you didn't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you please make sure that in America, Yidden don't get beat up in the streets? Could you please make sure in America, people don't get attacked? Could you make sure that on Simchas Torah this year, people will not get tied up, families together, and burnt? Could you make sure people don't get captured? We said last year on Rosh Hashanah, captivity. Did you daven that 250 people shouldn't be captured? It didn't cross your mind to daven for it. Did you daven there shouldn't be 1,200 people murdered in a few minutes? A few short hours? No. Says Rav Dessler to his son, last year if you weren't davening for it, fine. What do you mean you don't have what to be scared about? Which part don't you get? And he literally describes 1935 as this year. Now chas v'shalom. Not making any analogies, Rachmanu Litzlan. We ain't going from here anywhere. We're going here to Yerushalayim with Mashiach. But he says, what do you mean you're not going to daven? Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us an image on Rosh Hashanah last year of what would happen. And he said we could daven that it shouldn't happen. Ladies, what would you have done last Aseres Yimei Tshuva from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? You would have not put down your Tehillah for 1 second because you know you could stop October 7th. Hashem didn't tell it to us. We didn't know. We couldn't daven, it shouldn't happen. This year, Rachmana Litzlan, it's incumbent upon us. Because if Chas v'Shalom something were to happen this year, and it won't, we're now guilty, says Rav Dessler, because we know better, and we know we need to daven. What does davening mean? Women, it's not about a machzer. This is what I'm here to tell you tonight. The Gemara says there's 10 different expressions of tefillah. One of them is called tza'aka. Tza'aka means screaming. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, the greatest of all is tza'aka. Says Rashi, what does it mean, screaming, tza'aka? Says Rashi, no words, just screaming. And the Gemara says it's the greatest because it's from the lev. That is the key. It is crying out from the heart. That, says the Gemara, is more precious than the machzorim and more precious than the tefillos from Siddurim, because that's coming from the heart. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Neshei Yisrael, what I'm telling you is, it makes no difference where you are. If you're going to be in shul or you're going to be home. You could sit and hold someone in your hands or feed someone or whatever else you're doing. And you need to scream out. Doesn't have to be loud. Tzaka, the Gemara tells us, is valuable because it's from the lev. You need to scream out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For every single almana that happened this year, and I'm talking about hundreds of them, and for every yasim that happened this year, for every widow and every orphan, and I mean thousands of orphans that took place this year, what are we doing to make sure this doesn't happen next year? It's in your hands. Remember, it's not about the words of the machzer. It's about the tza'aka. When I spoke Tisha B'Av for the women, I shared a story. And I said that during World War I, when the world was in crisis, the men were davening in shul. And the Chafetz Chaim said, enough, the men are not doing it. He sent the men home. And he called all the women into shul. And he told the women, men left, the women have to daven. And Rabbi Shapiro, who shared, Rabbi Shapiro who shares the story, said his father hid in the women's section. The couple of boys, they thought it was very funny, very comical to watch women running the shul. And he says, well, his father describes what he saw. They didn't give out any Siddurim and any Tehillim. And all the women just began to daven. Oh, this is when World War I was all over. There was bloodshed all over. And they cried. And then the Chafetz Chaim was happy. He felt this did it. These women couldn't read, most of them. It made no difference, because that's not what Hashem is looking for now. Hashem is looking for heart. He is counting on the women of Klal Yisrael. It has nothing to do if you're in shul or not. You can talk to Hashem in English, in French, in Chinese. It makes no difference. It's whatever you speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for that. And that's not being said in shul. In shul, we're going to be reading out of a machzer, a very set text. And there's a lot of tefillos we're going to daven for Klal Yisrael. But this is more. The women of Klal Yisrael. As we started, what Rav Shach said, even in a room full of Talmidei Chachamim, it's the women's tefillos that are going to count. That's Rav Shach taught us. And that's what we need to understand. So women, you're not in the back. We need you in the forefront. And remember what Rav Dessler shared with us. This year is held against us, Rechman HaSlam, if we don't daven. How could you not daven? We had Nisim recently, incredible Nisim from Iran, Nisim Goloyim. There is no guarantee that will continue unless we continue to saying our Tehillim. But most importantly, it's now. Everything gets decided. Any soldier that was killed, any Yid that was killed this year was not killed on the day they were killed. It was on Rosh Hashanah signed away. That means written and Yom Kippur signed. Every almana or yosem, every diagnosis, Rachmana Litzlan, of an ill person, every couple that won't be zeichet to a child, anyone who will lose a child, anyone who's not going to find a shidduch, it's all being signed. You have to have all these people in mind. They need to have a good, sweet year. Please, please, please. I don't have the time to expound on the power of a tefillah during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. This is it. It's all right now in the ear hanging. Once it lands, it's hard to uproot. Finish with a mashal, Rabbi Pinkus always used to say, there was a shul in Eretz Yisrael that they brought a ready prefab caravan, they called it in Eretz Yisrael. A shul. And they went ahead, there was a crane that was putting it down. And the people in the shul were telling the crane, right, left, right, left, left, right, boom, and they put it down. And all of a sudden, after it was down, they went in, they realized that the Aron Kodesh that was built is on the Ma'ariv side, it's on the wrong side. And all of a sudden, and one of the kids said, no big deal, just move it to the right, move it to the left. And someone told the child, no, as long as it was still on the crane, you could say right and left and it moves. Once it lands, it's impossible to move. You need to drag it and push it. During Aseres Yemei Teshuva, it's called Teluyim V'Omdim. We're hanging. It's a heavy caravan this coming year, a heavy building, but it's prefab. It can be moved like this. One tefillah, boom. One tefillah the other way, boom, pushes it the other way. But once it lands, Matzi Yom Kippur, it can't be moved so easily. It could be moved, of course, everything could be moved, but it's very hard. Now is the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give us a sweet year. Just now before the shir, my good friend, David Seshal, sent me something from the Kedushas Levi that I'll finish off for all of you for Chizuk. The Kedushas Levi always was nervous. Their Levi Yitzchak was always nervous before Yom Kippur. But when Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos, he was always very calm. And he was relaxed. And someone said, why are you relaxed? And he said, Hashem keeps the Torah. And you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So I'm not worried that Hashem is going to write anything, a bad year for anybody. The only thing you let her be Michal Shabbos for is to save a life. Which means the only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu will write on a Shabbos, Yom Kippur, is only if someone should have a good year. Because a bad year does not save anyone. You can't write it. Says the Heiliger Levi Yitzchak, on a year where Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only write a good year. That was his positive perspective. But of course, that's an inspiration for us. And that's a chizik for us. But remember, we have a lot of tefillah to do. And I beg and I beg and I beg. Please don't let this go. You don't need to be in shul. When you're sitting on your couch, holding, when you're sitting together, please daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things are serious in this world now. Individually for Yidden and communally for Yidden. It is on Rosh, on Yom Kippur, that will be Kra Royak Zadineinu. It will be Stoyim Piyos Masneinu. Hafer Atzas Aveinu means HaKadosh Baruch Hu take all our enemies' plans and destroy them. It's going to happen on Yom Kippur. Remember, while the building's dangling, we could still move it. once it lands its heart, will be Zeichem Met Hashem, everyone on this teleconference and everyone in Klal Yisrael, to a Gemar Chasim Etoivu, a year of Gesund, good health, Naches from our children, a year of Parnasa. People should have Parnasa, enough for themselves and enough to help others. And we should be Zeichem to the ultimate, ultimate gift to the Yeshua with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Amen.